A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The Jazz get it done, 108 to 100, and to help break it down, the best in the business. Not only does he know more about basketball than you do, he dresses better and he sings better than you do. It is the man, the myth, the legend, Thurl Bailey. Big T, how are you?
I'm doing good. You couldn't find like a warm place to go, like the Bahamas?
I should have, huh? Yeah. I was in San Diego last week, but it was work. You know, we're calling games. Utah State played San Diego State and Fresno State, so... At least yeah. I was in some warm weathers, but can't wait.
Somebody's got to work.
I know, right? Got to keep it going. Hey, you enjoy this 3 days off, though? That's got to be nice to kind of decompress a little bit after a stretch of games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it sounds like I'm a player, but I know how nice it is for the players to be able to have that time off. And I think when you look at how loaded the beginning of the season was with road games, and now you're getting kind of a home stand and some days off, it really balances out, but it's a good time for the Jazz as they kind of creep up on another break, which is All-Star weekend. But yeah, it's nice to have, even as a broadcaster, nice to have some time off.
You know, it's interesting too, because when you played, were they chartering, or were you still guys flying commercial at that time?
Sort of both. Commercial most of my Jazz career. And then when I was traded to Minnesota, we were all charter, and I came back to play with the Jazz my last year. We were mostly charter. I think we chartered the East Coast swings, but we still flew Delta on some of the closer trips. So, yeah, I got to experience all of it, man.
Was that is the rumor true that John and Carl went to Larry and said, hey, if you want us to win and win at a high level, you got to do this for us?
True. True.
Had to happen, man.
Yeah. It was, you know, the Jazz were one of the last teams to really get on board with it totally. And, you know, those were the guys with the power. They deserved it. And you saw, you know, the longevity of both their careers. So, definitely a great move.
So there's a few things that we haven't had a chance to chat about that I wanted to pick your brain on. At what point in watching Walker Kessler did you start to realize that this kid has a chance to be really special?
Well, it's interesting because I'm going to jump back to that answer, but I actually said that early in Rudy Gobert's career to David Locke, and David looked at me like I was nuts.
He'll never admit to that, but that's awesome.
I think he would now. I think he really would.
Good.
But, you know, I could see, as a big myself and knowing kind of the big, how the development of bigs come, and also the trend of the NBA and what bigs aren't going to be doing and what they need to learn how to do better. I think it was probably, first of all, he's a good kid. I call him a kid. He's a grown man. But when we interviewed him before the regular season started, you could just tell that he got it, right? And you look at what he was bringing from Auburn to the NBA. It was shot-blocking ability. A guy averaging almost 5 blocks a game in college. Some of that's got to translate. You just don't know how much of that will based on his body type. But I really think it was maybe 10, 15 games in that I knew that he was going to be special in that sense of bringing that timing, and that desire to be a good shot blocker from college to the NBA and being effective in a man's league. So now as he continued more and more making rookie mistakes, apologizing for them, and then doing that less and less and less, I'm thinking, wow, he's catching on pretty fast. And, you know, talking with Will Hardy and some of the other coaches and his teammates, they've given him a lot of that confidence as well. But in short answer, it didn't take me long to know he was going to be special in something in this league. And now he's really kind of exceeding my expectations.
So this is why I think Will Hardy is really good. I mean, obviously he's great as a coach, but he's really good in the media because he says things and I come away learning some things. And you as a player who played this game at this level, maybe you can share a little expertise on this as well. But he said something that I hadn't really thought of a couple weeks ago about his shot blocking ability and said that he's good at going up with both hands. But a lot of people go up with a block shot and they'll, you know, whatever hand they dominate, if you're right handed, you go up with the right hand. He said he can go equally with the left or the right hand or go up with both hands. Just how rare is that skill? And is that something you're born with or can you be coached up in that?
No, you're not born with it. And part of it's having the type of coach that is experienced enough to teach you how to do that. But I think even most of it comes from trial and error and instincts. Again, I think the block shot, the rejection is one of the most exciting plays. Everybody loves the dunk and a lot of guys can dunk, but not many guys can really be an expert at shot blocking. Now, a lot of that takes failure, right? It takes you get dunked on and you know, you're going to lose some of those battles. But what I noticed about Walker is that doesn't faze him, right? He's ready for that challenge. But his ability to use that length, because he's tall, but he's so long and athletic in the sense that his timing is there and he just has a sense. Sometimes it just takes that sense as a shot blocker to not just be, you know, right dominant or left dominant. And you see him go up sometimes with both hands and all of a sudden he's tracking that ball, which is another important part. He's tracking that ball with his eyes and whatever side it goes on, he uses that hand to deter, interfere with the shot in some way or block it. And it's a technique that a lot of really good shot blockers never had. Mark Eaton wasn't like that. He blocked a lot of shots, but he wasn't the kind of guy who could track that ball and go with either hand.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The evolution of Lauri Markkanen, I mean, I think we all felt like he was a good player that the Jazz acquired, but I don't think any of us thought of him as an all-star. There's a sense, and Locke drops this line all the time, that you are who you, the back of your basketball card says that you are. But what we're seeing right now isn't what the back of Lauri Markkanen's basketball card said he was before he came here to Utah. Is this just the right player in the right scheme at the right time that's allowing him to have the put up these kind of numbers?
Well, Locke says that because it's all about numbers, right?
Yeah.
I love David, and I love arguing about some of these things. But sometimes when you've been in those shoes, in a sense, there's another part of this, which is Lauri Markkanen has worked just as hard or even harder than most guys in this league who become stars. But it's not just about that. Right, it's about the recognition of what he can be. It's about the recognition of what that would look like in our system. It's the recognition of saying, you know what, man, I saw this guy in the Euro in the Euro games, and he's got. Why don't we put him in a position to where he can do a lot of those things with this team? And then after that, it's all it's really up to him and developing to the type of player that, that he is. And part of that too is getting co-signed by your coach and your teammates to say, look, you know, we put this band together, but you're our lead singer, bro. Yeah. You know, you're the number one option. We understand what you have. I'm not sure you understand it all yet, but we want to put you in a position to understand what that means as far as this team goes. And Lowry has, you know, he's developed that. He's gotten the assurance, the reassurance of his team that, God, dude, this is who you are. So go out and be you.
What's trade deadline like as a player, especially when you're hearing rumors about yourself, and then when you do get that phone call that you've been traded? What's emotionally, what is that like on a player? Because, you know, sometimes we don't really think about these guys as human beings, but the emotional toll that these next couple weeks can take on a player.
Well, I lived it.
Yeah.
I lived it right here in Salt Lake City. And it's an interesting time because it's a distraction. It can be. But the part that probably I didn't understand was the business of basketball. I mean, I'm in Salt Lake City, and next year John came, and the next year Carl came. So, you know, we're building this dynasty. We're starting to win. We're making the playoffs. And after, you know, 8 years, I turn on the radio on my way home from practice and find out that a trade was made. And then I got home, and my phone was ringing when I pulled into my garage. I could hear it ringing. It was Scotty Layden basically saying that I've been traded to Minnesota. And so it was crazy, because even before that, I wasn't really thinking. It wasn't a nerve-wracking time for me. I wasn't thinking about trading, being traded. It just happened, right? That's the business of basketball. And so my reaction was what it was, and I had to live with it and adjust to it. But nowadays, Scotty, when you have social media, you have everything that's going on, and, you know, people are talking about rumors and this and that, it's got to be a lot more difficult. It really does. And trades aren't necessarily a bad thing if you understand the business of basketball. It means you're worth something. Teams think that you can come and help them win. And so you can't look at it in a negative way, but the bottom line is you can't really worry about it. What's going to happen is going to happen. You just go out and try to do your job and continue to, you know, to play on this team that has really been fun, I think, for all these guys.
Well, Big T, appreciate it, man. It's always fun catching up with you. Thanks for your time, and enjoy a couple days off. Hey, don't let Bowler puff out his chest too much about those Chiefs, though. He's going to be on cloud nine.
I'm on the bandwagon, too, man.
Really?
I'm a Chiefs guy.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But if he does, I'll puff mine out with him.
There you go. There you go. I love it. Thanks, Thurl.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Thurl Bailey. On that Jazz broadcast right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.